You're listening to Morning Edition on WNYC. 40% of the service members fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan are members of the National Guard and the Reserves. Deploying these weekend warriors abroad and sometimes in combat is a new development just a decade old. And it's exposed a weak link in the training and support offered the service members and their families. Military sociologist Dr. David Siegel is here to talk about challenges facing reservists. Good morning.
Good morning.
First, what's the difference between active duty service members and reservists?
The major difference is that reservists have a life outside the military. They're in school, they have families that are not embedded in the military system, they have civilian jobs. And you referred to them just now as weekend warriors, which is what we used to call them, because their requirement generally was to report one weekend a month and 2 weeks during the summer. It's been a long time since that's been the fact of life for our reservists.
Yeah, after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, then President George Bush made the decision to use the National Guard as an operational reserve rather than as a strategic one. What effects has this had on members of the Guard and the Reserves?
Well, for people who were then serving, it came as a surprise. Since the beginning of the current wars, I think anybody who has joined the Guard or Reserve has understood that going to war was part of the job. But that was not as clear for people who previously were serving.
Is it harder for them to get treatment or to access services than their active duty counterparts? And if so, why?
Largely, it is because of the communities that they come from. Active duty military personnel who are deployed for war are generally coming from a military base where there is a support structure. There are generally mental health personnel who understand the demands of war, and they're embedded in a social context where other people understand what they have been through when they have been to war. The National Guard and Reserves are drawn from a fairly large geographical area, and a guardsman or reservist who is mobilized may be the only person in his community who is serving. And when he returns, he's returning to a community that does not understand what he's been through. The mental health personnel in his home community may know nothing about traumatic brain injury or post-traumatic stress disorder. And his employer may or may not have kept his job. Indeed, his employer in the current economy may or may not still be in business.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Siegel.
You're quite welcome.
Dr. David Siegel is a military sociologist who teaches at the University of Maryland. He's laid out the particular challenges facing members of the National Guard and Reserves. Now we hear about one program that is supporting the reservists. WNYC's Abby Fentress Swanson reports on a couples retreat that aims to help with the homecoming after a soldier's deployment.
I'm going to break the group into two portions, all the guys on one side and the girls on the other. All right, oh, here we go.
Staff Sergeant Anthony Morrow is leading a Strong Bonds for Couples training in New Brunswick. Eight couples signed up for the weekend retreat, in part to take advantage of quality time at a luxury hotel without the kids. It's meant to provide support for the soldier, but also for his or her spouse.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the men to come up with a top 10 list of what wives need from their husbands. Oh, good Lord, no. And then the women must come up with a top 10 list of what husbands need from their wives.
These free trainings, the Army says, have helped to lower divorce rates, bring down incidents of family violence, and keep soldiers from dropping out of the military. At the hotel, Staff Sergeant Morrow asks the couples, who are dressed in civilian clothes, to split up by gender and make lists of what they think their spouses need in relationships. The women go first.
Of course, at the top of the list, you put that men want sex from their wives.
Yes.
Followed by food and or a personal chef.
She says men also want submissive women. They don't want to be nagged, but they do want a man cave, an ego boost, and a stylist. The men go next.
Y'all got that romance, money, security, honesty, love and affection, quality time, and a lot of shopping.
Actually, says Staff Sergeant Morrow, studies show love is what most women want in relationships, and respect is what men are looking for. It's hard to tell if activities like this are helping couples talk to each other and get back on track. But Jill Arstein says she's a fan. Her husband Jesse is in the Guard.
I think it's been really helpful to have other couples to talk to and listen to the experiences and issues that they have and see that our issues are very similar to theirs, so it kind of makes you feel better.
Absolutely.
That's her husband Jesse.
Being in the military, they tell you how to dress, when to work, when to go and everything. So it's nice to get a perk like this where they can set us up for a free hotel for the weekend, all free meals. So they really rolled out the red carpet when a lot of times the military expects quite a bit of its service members.
In the past year, more than 180,000 soldiers and family members have been to Strong Bonds trainings, up from 90 couples in 1999. But critics say there are shortcomings to support groups and programs like this, like they're under-resourced and they don't directly provide services. They argue it's not enough to have an open-door policy for service members and their family, who may seriously need help. But Major Jason Fedoroff says the Strong Bonds retreats have helped him and his wife adjust from a recent deployment to Afghanistan.
You come across these commonalities that you can help each other with, and it just makes you feel like you're doing the right thing and you're trying the best you can, and you're going to improve.
He says he's actually seen a change in the room since the session started.
You could look at other couples and see people touching more and realizing, yeah, this isn't such a bad idea, whereas maybe at home it's just too easy to get set in a routine and not want to try to open up, communicate better.
The Army plans to release the results of a 5-year study on the program's effectiveness later this year. For WMYC, I'm Abby Fentress-Swanson.